a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell to my left. We're just hanging out. Scott's preaching the gospel of his old playbook to anybody who'll listen. And the person who's
People that like football get
Connor
it. They
Pay
go,
this wants he wants all of it. He's trying to take pictures of it, trying to take it back, trying to copy it. And we're okay with it, man. Get it signed. It's not like you could steal ideas from 1990 and go.
Yeah, you could.
Where did this come from?
No,
I mean, like, the statute of limitations is up. You can take this playbook. Oh. You can steal it. Be all. There's some iteration of it right now, the BYU run. So I'm
well.
Sure.
Here's the thing is. Like, I have so much knowledge in my head, you know, and experience, and it's just going to die with me. Yeah, I mean, really, it's like I'd be more than happy to have people share that information, whatever. I don't care.
That's what we're doing.
Because I think it's cool.
It's the sharing of information down here at BYU Football Media Day. We've been here live all day. BYU's been fantastic about hooking us up with great interviews and walking around and getting some great folks to talk with us and to sit down with the coaches, players, staff alike. We've got some things we've got to start off with as usual. So we're going to jump in. We've got a Win Ticket Wednesday coming up here, but we also have the cut right here at the top of the old program. So let's get to it.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Well, the cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. It's uofuhealth.org.
Oh, man.
What?
This is awful.
Did you just get some bad news?
I got some super bad news.
What happened?
Tony Siragusa.
The Goose, one of your former teammates.
He passed away.
Tony Siragusa passed away.
That is just terrible. He was one of my favorite teammates in the entire world. Funniest guy I've ever been around. He was just a personality. He was awesome. I just saw this. I just got a text message and wow. I am so bummed out about that.
You tell a lot of stories about Tony Siragusa, and so
most of them I can't tell on the air.
You know what? I wish people could understand the coolness that you can sometimes get from that, but. I know that's a massive blow for you, so I'm sorry for you, buddy. I mean, that's tough to lose.
Yeah, that Baltimore Ravens defense in 1999 when they won that Super Bowl.
And I grew up
that watching, was the best defense ever assembled in the NFL. It was the perfect defense.
And I grew up watching him play, but then I loved his sideline antics. Like, that guy was just – he looked like he came straight out of Sopranos.
Oh, totally.
And, like, they go, then they give a guy a tracksuit and say, hey, man, if you want to talk about football, you can. And he did it, man. He was awesome. Having him in the end zones and talking about stuff. And he would just be super real about it. And I know it just – Fox was just absolutely –
Oh, he was just so
They
fun.
Were freaking out as to what the Goose is going to say on a Sunday. So
he His official weight was 345 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't even close to that.
what do you think it was more?
Probably 385.
That's being generous. He was a biscuit shy of 400.
Yeah, maybe. he was. And
but he was the guy who would talk to you about where you need to eat in Baltimore all the time, right?
Oh, no, like, and we would go eat. We hung out all the time. He was an awesome guy. I am so bummed by this, but there's a famous clip of him where he's talking to an official during a game, and he's mic'd up. And so, you know, he's hanging out of his uniform, and he looks terrible. And he turns to the official and he goes, "Hey, how do I look?" You know, he's kind of slimming down and all this stuff. And he goes, "I'm on the Atkins diet." He says, "I look pretty good, don't I?"
I look good.
And the referee's like, in his mind, going, "You're a fat slob." You know? but Tony Siragusa, he actually owned who he was. Oh, I'm just I'm heartbroken by this. He was just an
Dave
amazing
McCann.
Guy.
Dave McCann, BYU TV. We just found out that Scott's former teammate Tony Siragusa passed away today. So it was a real bummer. But it's been a long day for you, Dave. And you're nice enough to stop by. You've got all your clothing with you and your bag.
I'm heading out to the car. This is a flashback of being able to just walk into
yes,
your studio.
This feels
yes.
right. This feels right.
You couldn't Roll help yourself, reverse. Could you, right?
No, I'm walking just by here, and I'm like, there's a headset. I'm just going to come on. And
you probably
have never seen a headset I didn't like and not afraid to put it on.
It's certainly not the coaches or the players. I'd say that of everybody. You do the most work prep-wise to get on the air with as much information as you can. I mean, you have a lot of staff and things like that, but you have all day. You guys have been working tirelessly to be able to get these interviews dialed in, ask the questions you want to do. What did you learn from Media Day today? Because, you know, we had the state of the program that we heard between you and Tom and Kalani today. What did you take out of a day like today? You know, everyone wants to talk about Big 12. But at the same time, there's a whole football season right here that the coaches and players want to talk about.
We were just joking that we went 11-0 in Media Day shows.
Sure, yeah.
We'd have gone 12-0, but it was canceled. But if we'd have played that game, we'd have gone 12-0. It is it's incredible how much work goes into this thing. And most of it's not done by me, but our crew and the staff that works here and the students that get involved and the editors upstairs. And when you just look at what was going on the 2 hours on Sports Nation in between state of the program and the show we just did, there's so many highlights. Well, someone has to cut those highlights. There's so many this, there's so many that. Somebody's Puka's coming on, here's Puka highlights. And it's an exhausting day, but it's awesome to walk out of here. And you know, the product is Kalani and the team. And so it's, you know, like you guys, on a radio show, what's great is the content of the show drives the show, and you go home and it's like they didn't tune in to watch me, they tuned in to watch the product,
right?
And our job is to move the product, and I feel pretty good about that.
I thought what was fascinating, what we've learned so far today, is these the players and their perspective on this year. So much of this year is and so much of this media day, so much of the attention with BYU is focused on, it's a year, you know, the move to the Big 12, and everything's kind of geared towards that. But you hear these players, and actually you listen to Coach Satake talk about their expectation about this year.
Yeah,
this could be the hardest schedule BYU's had in independence,
with the best team that they've had,
right? And there's an expectation here of, you know, not just getting to 8 wins or 9 wins or going to the automatic bowl, whatever it might be, tied to BYU. It's that there are bigger fish to fry here. There's a higher expectation. It's undefeated. It's going to a New Year's six bowl game. It's the potential of going to the college football playoffs. And we're not talking about it. The players, and they're not afraid. They're not reserved about. This is our expectation
high
here,
goals,
and it just really jumped out at me, and it was, quite frankly, very impressive. You know, it's just not, well, we're independent, and we hope we have a good year.
It's interesting to see how these guys mature. Jaren Hall, Puka Nacua, I bumped into him in the hallway a few minutes ago, and they're different. You know, it's like watching our children grow up. From year to year, all of a sudden they talk like an adult, you know, or all of a sudden things that weren't important to them are suddenly important to them. And like Puka, for example, he's got the potential to put the kind of season together to get a job in the NFL after his junior season, if it all works out.
Sure.
And you get the feeling that he gets that. And that's kind of where you see the maturation process. Jaren Hall knows if he has a good season, he can go get a job. And as you interview him and as we interact with him and you watch him as the leader of the team, it's different from the Jaren Hall of last year. And Zach Wilson, his junior year was so different from his sophomore year. And we had him on our program a short time ago.
Well, you did a write-up of the Deseret News about the six games that he remembered.
The Super Six.
I want to know what they are. I mean, you just sent it to me, and then I'm thinking, well, Dave's right here. Might as well tell us about it. Could you get them all off the top of your head, all six of them here?
Yeah, his perfect game in the Potato Bowl.
Sure.
Wrapped up his sophomore year.
Was it 18 for 18 he went that day?
Yeah, for 317, I think, three touchdowns. What was amazing is, as I was talking to him about that, he goes, you know, I watched that game now, and I go, what was I even thinking on a bunch of these plays?
I remember my son and I watching the game, and he throws an incomplete pass, and we're like, no! And then there was a defensive holding, and we're like, yes!
He said his guys bailed him out so many times. And so his perspective of the perfect game is when he watches it, which is where his mind is, and Scott would relate to this as an NFL quarterback, it's all my reads, and why did I go here when I could have gone there?
Right.
It's and all that's how he watches his old games.
Right. So what were the other ones?
The Tennessee finish.
Obviously, yeah.
The following week, USC in overtime.
Fans running on the field.
The Houston game on a Friday night on ESPN was really his national coming out party.
Right. And it was a big comeback. They ended up winning by a lot. It was that underneath pass.
29 straight points. He threw for 400 yards.
Right.
What was cool about that game, if you remember, ESPN had a game on before. It was really the first time, and Zach said it was the first time we had fans of that magnitude in a game, and there were a lot of BYU fans there in Houston. But I remember ESPN finishing their game and joining the BYU game in progress right as Zach took the snap on their first play
75-yard touchdown
and threw the bomb to Dax.
Right.
I mean, how about that to start the night for a football-starved country watching TV that have so few games to watch? So that one, Boise State was big, he said, because they'd never won on the blue turf, and that was a thing.
Well, that was not much of a game to watch, to be quite honest.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It doesn't matter.
He was dominant.
It's like just a win.
And then the Boca Raton Bowl against Central Florida.
Yeah, he really dialed it up. I mean, he knew, speaking of eyeballs on him and knowing what he was going to have to be getting into in like a few months after that.
And he said going into that game, he knew that it was his last game. He hadn't announced it, but he knew he was going to turn pro. And so he said he was nervous all week because he wanted to go out right.
Yeah.
And they came out. He ran for two touchdowns. He threw for three. He said they threw the little trick play to Isaac Rex down the sideline, and he just said, you know, a lot of teams show up to these lesser bowls half asleep, more or less. He goes, not us. We were ticked that we lost to Coastal, and they were ticked that they didn't get to a bigger bowl, which is the life of a independent.
Right,
and
Central
Florida put on a show.
Central Florida was basically playing a home game.
All of that happened with the cancellation of seasons, we were on the radio, and I just remember – hearing the news, well, this game got canceled, this game got for BYU.
It's wild, yeah.
And I'm like, they're not even going to have a season. Like, this is going to be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And what the athletic department was able to do.
ESPN.
And it was incredible how they pulled a season together. And here you have, you know, you have the Pac-12 is in the tank. You know, a lot of conferences are in the tank. The Big Ten is
some aren't
the,
even playing at
they're
all.
They're just like, you know, and when you talk about making, you know, lemonade out of lemons, I mean, I think that was a massive moment for BYU in independence and maybe quite frankly in the entire history of the program because it was that year that kind of was that catalyst to of all these moments you're talking about, and that relevance of being a team that's really kind of peaking at the right time to get the interest of a conference like the Big 12.
And was there a bigger winner? Is there a bigger winner in this whole independent run than Zach Wilson?
Right.
And Zach wasn't even on the radar before the COVID season.
I was watching Zach Wilson in high school. I was calling high school football games. I think I called three of his games, and I go, Boise State is the only. I mean, I said it on the. This kid's really good.
Yeah.
And he's a really good high school player. Like, this kid is really.
Yeah, but you never would
really
have said,
good.
You never would have said probably a number. Probably a top five pick in the NFL draft.
Well,
at some point,
no, I don't know that I would have gone that far. No, but
how about?
But I asked Ty Detmer. I'm like, why aren't you guys recruiting this guy? I asked Freddie Whittingham at Utah, why are you guys? And Utah was like, well, we committed to Jack Tuttle,
and they sold out to Tuttle,
and the agreement was we would not recruit another player. So they kept their word, and he jumped ship.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, and. Because, Zach, I mean, who knows what Zach's ceiling is, but he's definitely a talent.
That Navy game to start the COVID year that played on Labor Day night, on Monday night, everything around it was so weird because the NFL hadn't started. There were so few games. All the major conferences weren't even playing yet. Remember, the SEC wasn't even going to start till the end of September. And here comes BYU on a Monday night. And you don't even know if there's going to be a next Saturday. They put some games together, but I just think of the unique time of uncertainty all across the country for a lot of things more important than football. But here comes this game on Monday night in front of no fans at Navy. And that's where it started for Zach. And quite frankly, Oklahoma and Texas hadn't announced they were leaving the Big 12.
Couldn't have hurt to have that year, though, right before the
It was just perfect for what it was.
It's a great lesson in how valuable exposure is. Regardless of the opponent or the situation, when you just have that many eyeballs on you and you play well, the perception is, wow, this is really good. And how good is that team? It could always be debated, but everyone's watching it. And that's why for me, having it within 40 miles of each other, two programs that are in Power 5 football that are going to have that type of exposure. Utah plays at Florida right out of the gates, and having that, that exposure early on will create that perception. And the same thing for BYU, where you have this really high profile schedule. I mean, you're playing Notre Dame, you're playing Oregon, you're playing a lot of schools that are going to create a lot of interest and a lot of opportunities for building that perception of who you are.
And how about down the road when you have weekends where BYU's hosting Texas and Utah's hosting USC?
Right.
No one can see in the days of the WAC and the days of the Mountain West, we couldn't even see that far.
What a statement right there. I mean, that just gave me chills, actually.
Look at Scott that.
See, no joke.
I think it's just because you're here on campus.
That did something else for me.
Hey, some magic stuff happens.
Look
Scott,
down there. Right from where we're sitting here, you see that? You can see the stadium there. I think of that, and I see you, Scott, and I think that could have been you.
Do you want to hear a crazy thing?
Yeah.
As a kid, I used to go down to that stadium. Yeah. When I was in high school, I used to go down to that stadium. I used to think not could have been. I go, man, am I going to have some amazing games here when I get older?
Well, they were amazing for some people.
I had that dream.
Well,
I was at that stadium yesterday to sit down with Ty, who was here shooting some stuff for NFL Films, and we were talking about walking through that stadium, and it's different for him now because the staying power of a Heisman Trophy is mind-boggling for these guys who win it. But, we hang on to our days in college like they were yesterday, especially as a player.
Dave, I know
you've
had such a long dang day, and you're nice to hang out with us here at BYU Media Days.
Hey, how about some overcast? This is
we have not had it this mild at a media day.
Here's the question:
in the entire 11 years I've seen.
What are you going to do now between now and when camp opens, like August 4th?
So this
is the busiest time of year for us.
Well,
seriously,
sort of.
We got the Jazz. Are you kidding? The Jazz are going to be a hot mess this summer.
Things are going to. But we also got to go to the Pac-12 Media Days down.
Pac-12 Media Days.
Oh, yeah. So you got some beach time coming.
And then,
That's exactly.
Well, now we go to Holly Weird. And
are you going to go? Are you going to go over to the Big 12 meetings?
Yeah, next year. Yes,
next year, but not this year.
Not this year. I mean, Mitch and a couple other guys from KSL.
That'll be interesting. Only, and we talked to Kalani about that this morning in the show. He went to a meet a couple of days in Scottsdale with all the Big 12 coaches.
Sure.
And that was the he comes in the room with Cincinnati, Central Florida, and
Houston,
and there's Steve Sarkisian and everybody, and he said they couldn't have been better received in that group of the new peers.
Right.
And what a moment that must have been like to walk in there and go, we're finally here.
Is it kind of like when your parents got you dressed up for when your cousins came over, though, and you go, you better be nice to your new cousin. Hey, buddy, good to see you. Or is it, I mean, like, because in the end, BYU could walk out and start beating all these guys right off the bat.
I think coaches.
No, they know what the grind is.
They know what they go through to get there. Yeah. And they can all appreciate, you know, what Kalani's been through to get to where he is. I mean, it's a remarkable path and a challenging one that not a lot of people are willing to walk.
And everyone's got challenges. And for Sarkisian, for example, you got the expectations that are through the roof with Texas. You haven't won a Big 12 title forever. If you were going to the SEC this fall,
right?
Where would you go?
You're going to be bad for years.
Yeah. And so I think he's going, hey, I got two more years. I got three more years.
I
got
to figure this thing out.
To get this right, or I'm going to be, I won't even make it.
You might be on BYU.
Somebody else will be taking him to the, they'll be playing in the alumni game.
Before I let you out of here, Dave, of all the things BYU's good at right now, and of all the places they look really good, the defense was the thing that everybody looked at last year and went, whoa. And I know there were some depth issues there. What's the thing for you that you go, that has to get better? If they're going to be in that spot, they need to get better right here.
You know what? The defense wasn't that bad last year. It struggled to stop the run against Baylor, and there were some injuries for that. And they were plagued with injuries in the Independence Bowl. USC played their best, one of their best offensive games in a game BYU won down there at 35-31. But then you go, when BYU was healthy, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Washington State, none of those guys scored more than, what, 21 points?
Right.
So if you're going, okay, we can get healthy, we can get deeper, what's wrong? We went 10-3. Is the scheme all wrong? The year before that, they went 11-1. Is the scheme all wrong? Or is it just, let's stay healthy, and if BYU beats Baylor, for example, is it the defense was the story of the year? Or was it because they lost to Baylor and the offense was zipping along that the defense is perceived as the weak link? I think Elisa gets some unnecessary heat. You know, BYU's defensive coordinator is always under the gun, even in the days of the WAC. But he wasn't under the gun when the offense scored 63 points against UTEP. But you're playing five Pac-12 teams. You beat all five.
It was 80 against UTEP.
Yeah. The thing I like about Tuiaki's defense is what we saw in the Virginia game. They gave up 35 points in the second quarter. They go into halftime. They adjust. They decide, you know what, we got to sub more guys in. We got to get fresh legs in. Our guys are being left out there too long, and these guys are running right through them. They make their adjustments. In the second half, Virginia scores 7 points. That's the same team that scored 35 in the second quarter, and BYU beats them going away. You don't have to have the greatest guys. You don't have to have necessarily the greatest scheme. You got to be able to make adjustments. And I thought in that game, after maybe the worst defensive performance in the history of the school in the first half, they came back and held them to 7 points in the second half and won the game. I like that. I like that about Tuiaki. It would be nice if BYU had five stars on the front line. They just don't. But they don't need them to win 10 games. Not last year. Do they need better players and more depth? I think they need more depth going into the Big 12 because injuries showed up all over the place.
Yeah.
But defensively, it's hard to knock a defense that that kept all those Pac-12 teams well below their averages.
Serial optimist, BYU TV.
You had
host.
To get that in, didn't you?
BYU TV host.
I didn't mention the Utah score.
No, let me just.
I didn't even bring that up. Did I mention the Utes, Alex? Did I mention
no,
Utes
no,
one
no.
time?
Yeah, but I know what you're doing. All right, I know who you
Did
are.
Did you see what they put on Scott's tag here? They put him as a BYU Sports Network employee.
That's awesome.
That is.
I had nothing to do with that either. That's karma right there.
I walk in the door and I look through the broadcast window And there's the Utah BYU.
Yeah, I was replaying
game
it.
From we last
it.
Year.
Took yeah. out the commercials. Yeah. Everybody could enjoy yeah. it condensed.
Right.
And all I thought of was I had 9 years, 9 years that I could just talk trash. And now I just have to.
And you
to,
did.
And I, of course I did.
You know what?
And now, I have to. I just have to take it.
The bummer.
I have no response. Know, just so you know, he's like, "You're right. You won last year."
The
you,
bummer you, is that they're not playing this year or next year. And I don't know who would win if they played again. Let's say they were opening up the season against each other. But let's just say they were, instead of playing Florida and South Florida.
It'd be a good game this year.
Just think of what you guys would have to talk about all summer.
Could you imagine? Yeah. And we've done it. We've certainly done it enough. Dave, we appreciate it. You can go to Deseret News. You can go to Deseret.com and see Dave's write-up about his conversation with Zach Wilson. And go back, take a look, see what's going on with what they took care of today on BYU TV as well.
Hey, Scott, the creamery is right over here, the creamery.
Well, I'll hit it on my way out of town.
I did it. You know what I did was I actually did the thing where I go, I could have eaten lunch here, but instead I kind of did a little meandering around campus.
You did the right
thing. These are the good days. These are the good old days. Dave, we appreciate it, man. We always love you taking a little bit of time with us, and we'll chat with you when football season approaches.
You guys are welcome down here anytime. I just want you to know that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. We're going to take the break here. When we do, we've got some stuff to give away. You ready for this? Caller number 12 right now. And the numbers changed since we switched over the building. 801. You're ineligible, Dave. Can't win. But you'll love these tickets. Look at this. 801-575-5967. A pair of tickets to see Santana and Earth, Wind, and Fire on June 28th at the USANA Amphitheater. So there you go. 801-575-5967. Caller number 12 gets a pair of those tickets to Santana, Earth, Wind, and Fire at USANA Amphitheater. Get your seats. LiveNation.com is the website, your concert connection. LiveNation.com. 801-575-5967. More to go right here. Unrivaled continues from BYU Media Day here in Provo. We're live. Stay with us. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.